A new report's found the removal of caps on the number of students that universities can enrol has led to a surge in dropout rates. The limits were removed in 2010 to introduce a new demand-driven system, and it was mainly aimed at helping disadvantaged students into tertiary education. But the federal government's economic advisor, the Productivity Commission, says 21% of students who've enrolled since those changes were introduced have either failed to gain their degrees or dropped out altogether. And it's found despite good intentions, the system's failing to attract Indigenous students and those from low socioeconomic backgrounds with poor literacy and numeracy, the biggest barriers. The Productivity Commission Chairman, Michael Brennan, is speaking here with our senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan.
The system has had mixed success. By age 25, two-thirds of the additional students, those who enrolled in university, we believe as a result of the demand-driven system, who would not have gone to university but for that system, two-thirds by age 25 had graduated. Most of them had moved on into full-time employment and were earning a reasonable graduate salary. So for them, the system was an unambiguous benefit. For others, it didn't work out quite so well. The dropout rate for those additional students was higher than we observe in general, with about one in five dropping out.
So that's 21% of those additional students are less likely to complete their degree or to drop out altogether. Surely that's a sign that the system is failing?
I think it's too strong to say that the system overall is failing. For those students, they clearly incurred some cost. The taxpayer incurred some cost. They incurred cost in terms of debt and foregone earnings. The problem is that it's very difficult to know up front which students will do well at university and which won't.
But surely there must be some success stories from these greater opportunities, people who've gone to university and gone on to very good careers.
That's right. Two-thirds graduated and got full-time employment and earned reasonable graduate salaries. Over time, the expectation would be that they would have an earnings premium. And for those people, it is a success story. And those additional students did come from a broader range of backgrounds. They were more likely to have gone to a government school. They were more likely to have come from a low socioeconomic background. They were more likely to be the first in their family to go to university.
But you've also highlighted that despite the good intentions, there's been little improvement in getting regional, remote or Indigenous people into university. Surely that's not really an endorsement of the current policy.
There are a number of reasons why students from regional and remote areas, for example, don't go to university. So in some cases, it might be because their level of academic achievement is not as high, but that actually explains very little of the participation gap. And that suggests that there are a number of broader considerations which are coming into play, many of which could have to do with cost.
But you also say that some of the bigger issues in the report surround literacy and numeracy, even before anyone considers university as an option, especially those from disadvantaged backgrounds.
Well, that's right. We traced the additional students back through time to age 15 in relation to literacy and numeracy, and found that for those additional students, their attainment was systematically below those of other students. So it does suggest that the school system has a role to play in better preparing a large number of students for university.
But does this all come down to now that university is not necessarily an option for all people and that there are better paths to take?
University isn't necessarily for everyone. What is important is that students are given the ability to make an informed choice, but also that there are strong, viable alternatives for young people. And it's also true that the vocational education and training system has also suffered a bit of reputational damage in the last decade or so.
But is it the case that some universities, because of these changes over recent years, are now overloaded with the wrong type of students?
That points to potential policy refinements, including universities providing greater support for the students that come from Indigenous, rural and regional backgrounds. And that might be as simple as having some greater accountability for the money that's granted to universities to provide greater surety and greater accountability about how that money's being spent.
That's Productivity Chairman Michael Brennan speaking there with Peter Ryan.